This is the Popmatic Podcast for April 13th, 2016, National Library Week!
Woo!
Or as we like to call it, Victory Lap.
We are the champions. Or insert Chariots of Fire thing here.
This is the Popmatic Podcast, where you can rock out with your library card out. I am Brian, and joining me today are...
Clem Marie.
I did it to you on purpose because you're taking a drink.
Sounds right.
But it was a good save.
Amanda.
Mike.
Jeez Louise, we are right in the middle of National Library Week, which is a time to celebrate the contributions of our nation's libraries and library workers, and to promote library use and support. That is according to the American Library Association.
ALA.
I just can't say it.
American Library Association.
Alda.
Website. Thank you.
We'll get there. It's a team effort.
So it is National Library Week, or as we like to call it, Victory Lap. The National Library Week honorary chair is Jean Luen Yang, the author of...
American Born Chinese.
Yes, which is about...
American-born Chinese?
Chinese-American boy who is trying to reconcile being an American with his Chinese heritage.
It's a graphic novel. It's one of our most popular book club in a bags. It's checked out all the time.
Ooh. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I think, like adult book clubs and, like, schools just check that out all the time.
Yeah, when they get YASLA award, I think.
That would be the Michael L. Prince Award for Excellence in Young Adult Literature. There have been a number of librarians from Nashville Public that have served on the committee that selects this award over the years.
Absolutely.
So, it's not just all about us, it's also about you. If you get a library card, and you probably already have one if you listen to this podcast, but you never know. If you don't have one, you can check out 100 physical items.
Yes.
On Hoopla, you can check out 10 audiobooks, music CDs, or movies or TV shows a month, stream them. On Freegal, you can download 7 songs a week. That's to own. No digital rights management at all.
Mm-hmm.
And unlimited streaming.
You can keep them forever and ever and ever until your hard drive dies.
Yes.
Then download them again, because you can't.
Because you can't. That's right.
Yes.
That's true. I never thought about that. On Zinio, you can have access to digital magazines, subscriptions every month. On the Tennessee Electronic Library, you have access to databases, which normally cost tens of thousands of dollars. They're free for you through the Tennessee Electronic Library. On Lynda, you can take classes, learn how to do stuff. On Transparent Languages, you can learn foreign languages. Rosetta Stone, that's expensive. Mm-hmm. We have similar software for free. Mm-hmm. Transparent Languages.
Tons of languages on there, too.
Like, tons. And 24 different courses for ESL.
Yes. It's like Netflix, but for everything. It's like everything flicks.
Exactly.
And it's free.
Wow. Also, Overdrive, you can check out 10 books, audio books, and you can even watch streaming video now on Overdrive.
You are saving me a lot today.
That's why we bring you back.
Overdrive has e-books to
watch. I forgot our most popular, most robust digital service, Overdrive.
I love Overdrive.
Which also has integration with the service I'm going to talk about later today.
Ooh.
On the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh.
Clem Marie?
Yes.
Is this the second time you've been on the podcast?
Yes, it's the second time I've been on the podcast. I am excited, even though today's a bit of what an old friend of mine will call a struggle fest, battling some congestion, and I'm sweating from my coffee. So, but I'm here. Yes, I made it.
Battle through.
Battle through. Yeah.
This podcast happens every week no matter what. So.
That's right.
I know. I'm not able to be on every week because sometimes I'm at schools doing workshops at, 8 a.m. or 8:30 a.m. Yesterday I was out in Antioch, which in a school in Antioch, which is like just a few hundred yards from Laverne.
Can you do a cold open?
Yes, I can do a cold open. Okay, so I am going to, I'm going to talk about my book now for National Library Week. I had read the memoir, The World's Strongest Librarian by Josh Hanegarn. And it's a memoir of Tourette's faith, strength, and the power of family. It says right on the cover, there's like a strong man lifting up a bunch of library books. And it's about a young man who was born, to his parents out in the West. And it turns out that he has Tourette's syndrome. And it sort of details his life struggling with pretty severe Tourette's syndrome, but also how one of the constants in his life has been that, you know, from when he was born in New Mexico, his mother would take him to the library, the public library, and reading books and things like that. But also it talks about how weightlifting has also been a very powerful way for him to control his Tourette's, because it's a way to focus on something else instead of, you know, what my body may or may not do next, is a way of controlling his body. And sort of he talks about how, you know, his family, it really sort of, helped them, and weightlifting helped him get, you know, deal with what, you know, with a body that was betraying him. It also talks about his faith. He grew up in a Mormon household and his crises of faith and eventually leaving the church, leaving the LDS church. So I found it touching. I would have liked more stuff about the power of libraries. He does talk about that, but, you know, I wish, you know, he talks more about weightlifting throughout. I have an interest in weightlifting, so, you know, it was like, oh, I gotta go do some squats and deadlifts now. I'm not gonna be like him and like bend horseshoes into shapes, because that's the kind of strongman stuff he does, and like lift 300-pound rocks.
See, I thought like the title was like a metaphor. I didn't know he really is the world's strongest librarian.
I don't know if
not a test that's been done exclusively.
But he does, but apparently he works now in the Salt Lake City, Utah library, according at the time of the memoirs publishing. And apparently they have a fitness room, and he goes down there on his lunch break and like bend horseshoes and lift things. I don't bend horseshoes, but you know, I do deadlifts, but I'm not about to go bend horseshoes. I don't think my hands are big, but I'm not looking to be that strong. You know, my parents' nickname for me as an infant was Bam Bam. Mm-hmm. So that should tell you something about that I am not a delicate flower. But I enjoyed the book. If you want someone, it's also interspersed with stories about working with the public, about, you know, being a librarian. People, I don't know, those of you that work at a patron desk, I don't know what kind of crazy requests you get.
So, you wouldn't even believe it if we told you.
Exactly. So he shares some of those stories. I'm going to share a little bit, which is probably my funniest bit, the funniest bit about going to library school. It reminded me of some of my professors back in my graduate school days. I actually did not go to library school. My background is in religious studies. I went to divinity school down the road at Vanderbilt. I went to do PhD work there as well, and I quit because I hated it. So that's another story.
That's a good reason to quit.
I decided I really didn't want to be a professor, but it reminded me of some of the more colorful personalities, you know, that, you know, teach your classes. And he referred, this is a description of his first day of library school in Denton, Texas. The rest of his program was online. And the professor arrived late to the first class. She looked like she spent the entire night rolling downhill in a car, after which someone had pushed her out onto the steps of the school and said, "Now, get in there. You got a lecture to teach." Braless, and a green crocheted sleeveless top that can only just encompass your fulsome gifts and keep your energy up. To stay stoked and regather her wits, she swigged from a 1-liter bottle of Dr. Pepper while lecturing about how neat databases are. She interrupted herself periodically to eat a Pop-Tart straight from the box.
I had a professor like that once.
So, but if you're
Maybe
looking,
it was the same one.
But if you're looking for a memoir that, you know, that touches upon the power of family, faith, and, you know, faith and doubt. I think doubt is a very important part of faith as a religious studies, you know, someone in a religious studies background, and an interest in weightlifting and libraries. I know that's a weird Venn diagram, perhaps, but this is the book for you. It's a nice, quick read, and it's very, you know, it's touching, and has some jokes about, you know, weird library professors and stories about weird library patrons.
And a good read for people that are not librarians?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. It does not go into minutiae of, you know, cataloging or things like that. It definitely, you know...
Nothing like what Mike does.
Nobody cares about the minutiae of cataloging.
Even Mike.
But if you are a library patron and you want to sort of know, you know, that, you know... Oh, librarians have lives other than being librarians. You know, they waitlist on...
Spoiler alert.
I have a cot downstairs.
They waitlist. Exactly. They waitlist in their spare time. They go running. We pursue other interests. And if you're interested, you know, in family stories and stories of, you know, of people overcoming obstacles, you know, an obstacle with, like, living with really severe Tourette syndrome. This is a great book. The author talks about how in his blog, which is called theworldstrongestlibrarian.com, he talks about how after he started sharing about Tourette's, that a lot of people started reaching out to him. How do I help my child? How do I help my son? I feel, you know, I can't live like this anymore. What do I do? And he tried to reach out to them as best he could. So, yes, that is, I really enjoyed this book. This book has been my my library list for a while. I'm glad I finally got a push to read it.
I've started lifting weights at the gym, but my inspirational story is I just want to get rid of my man boobs or
your fulsome gifts, if you will.
Yes.
According to the
I don't know if the B cup has gone down to an A yet. I'll keep you guys posted.
The world's most body shamed librarian. Yeah.
So, you'd be surprised, but today's topic was real head scratcher. Do I talk about a thing with libraries in it? Because I'm tapped out. I mean, I was thinking about talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer because the Scoobies would eat the school library a bunch, but yeah. I am, shall I say, a casual fan.
Boo!
I never made it past the third season. At some point, they graduate high school and go to college.
Gets weird. It's fine.
Yeah.
Is it the one? Three are the best.
Is that the one with the sister who just kind of appears?
I don't remember. I think so, but four is like the weird army season, like where they have this underground, like super secret government army people.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Chase Dean. Yeah.
I should just stick at it.
You might like it. It's not my favorite season.
Yeah. You know, then you can get to Angel. Or do I talk about library services? Something like, hey, listeners, did you know in addition to computers, DVDs, and ebooks, library has paper books? You'd be surprised.
I have a paper book right here.
Books about paper?
So,
we probably do.
Somewhere in the 700s. I know we have books on how to make things with paper products, like crafts and things.
Origami.
Like 746 or something.
The one book I kept from library school of all my library school textbooks was like a history of the book. Like an academic history of the book. It was fantastic.
Books about books.
Books on books.
That would go in zeros. Spoiler alert for later, gang. So I thought I'd briefly talk about libraries and emergency services today. Ooh, good times. So a cool story that floated around in library circles last year was the granting of the 2015 Library Journal Library of the Year Award to the Ferguson Municipal Library in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes.
In 2014, due to escalating protests, rioting, and police action following the shooting of Michael Brown by police, much of Ferguson was shut down. There were two small libraries there, but with only one full-time librarian, the director, and a bunch of part-timers/volunteers.
That's how it is in most libraries in Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
All the smaller public libraries.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting.
Doing the work of 10 people.
That's what I heard, like, being a school librarian's like. You have to do the work of, like, everybody.
Yes.
They closed for a few days, but eventually the director decided to reopen the library to help the community. The library became to be seen as a safe refuge for many of the residents. The schools in Ferguson were closed for like 4 months, and some of the teachers asked to use the library space to help kids learn and be safe and, you know, have a place to congregate. 40 students enrolled for ad hoc classes at the library, but more than 200 would show up by the end of the shutdowns and things. Healing kits were distributed to kids with information about civil rights or information on how to cope with trauma and an adorable teddy bear. The Alliance of Black Art Galleries hosted an art show there for local artists to respond to the shooting, which ran from October to December. More than $350,000 will be donated to the library. I know I got appeals in my email inbox at the time. I think the federal government donated or gave money as well. Now they can afford one more full-time staff member. Wow. You know, again, two libraries, so you think like at least one Anyway, and one of the coolest things to be is that normally libraries nominate themselves for the Library Journal Award, but for the director of Fergus, it didn't. Actually, it was the director of the library in Independence, Missouri, who nominated another library system. So humble. A runner-up for the award that year was your Nashville Public Library.
Woo! I know them.
I've heard of them. I go there.
I've been there.
I go there often. you can say that. Well, I've got a cot in the basement.
That's right.
A little teacup right next to it.
Yeah. Oh, that teacup. I need to replace it.
Or at least wash it. It's a little crusty. It's okay.
Real life. Cornelia got the joke. last year, I learned that the library serves as a warming center during times of extreme cold. Basically, homeless shelters can overflow, and 11 branches of the Nashville Public Library, including the main branch, can serve as a refuge for homeless people who have no other place to go when it is very cold. And I learned today, because, hey, I spent all my time in the gloomy basement, looking at YA books and SAT manuals and Amish romances and porn, that the Nashville After-Zone Alliance exists.
NASA.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. A after-school program that teaches really cool classes for middle school kids. One of the classes is in robotics.
Yes.
I take a robotics class. It's awesome.
Yeah, and
she's working on your knees. Hey, guys, I'm here for the robotics class.
And
I could do the artwork for you, Mike. Well, yes. Thank you, Mike Jr.
Yeah, NASA is like all over the county. Some of the sites that NASA partners with, because this is school stuff and, you know, literacy stuff. So, like, you know, and they're down the hall from me. But they also partner with different community organizations to offer, like, their after-school programs at different sites. Community centers, schools, all throughout Davidson County. Like, some of the programs specifically targeted for, like, immigrant and refugee students or specifically for girls. And they're doing, like, a big summer program this year, free, for middle school students. You have to register, but it is free. And they offer transportation and even breakfast and lunch and classes all day. I mean, wow. It's a really neat thing.
And robots.
Yes, and robots. And, like, book clubs and maybe they're making paper crafts. I'm not sure, but I would have to ask.
They probably have books on it, though.
Are they the ones with the 3D printer?
That's the studio upstairs?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's another awesome program the library does, is Studio NPL, which for middle school and high school students, we offer access to not only 3D printers, but movie studio equipment, instruments, audio recording equipment, photography equipment, and mentors that teach you how to use all the stuff.
Yeah, robotics, so. You can do electronics, you can solder stuff, you can work on your beats. Apparently some kids do that.
Like beatniks or like vegetables?
Like hip-hop artists.
Oh. I'm such a square.
That's a different program.
Yeah,
we did have a program for beat growing.
That's the seed program.
Yes, that's another program we have. You can get beets, seeds for your beets to grow beets in your own garden.
While you're making beats in our studio.
You can make beats about your beats.
Time to turn the beat around. There you go, Amanda.
Well, I have always loved books, but I used to completely not like audiobooks. So I think I always felt slightly insulted that someone had to read their book to me.
Yeah,
it's
me
like,
too. Growl.
Dude, I'm smart. I got it. Yeah. You know,
Skip
I can
ahead.
Do this. I'm fast. So, but then I found audiobooks that were read by the author, and I kind of fell in love a little bit. Because it was not really like being read to. It's more like they're telling me their story or telling me their jokes, which is kind of the whole point of the book in the first place. Duh. Hello. And this is especially true for books that are meant to be funny, because no matter how hard they try, third-party readers just don't quite get that inflection right. They can't sell it quite as well. So this week, I'm going to talk about one of my new favorite library things, an audiobook read by the author. Yay! So I've mentioned, much like Jeremy mentions Elvis Costello every week, I have mentioned Joss Whedon before. I'm still working on the T-shirt.
Not quite every week, though.
Not every week. I try to mix it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So through Joss, I get introduced to all kinds of delightful nerd fests of fun. First came Buffy, yay, then Firefly, then came the genius that is Dr. Horrible and his sing-along blog. And I knew the boys who were in the cast, yay, Nathan Fillion, NPH, Simon Helberg. But who was this delightful redhead? So a little digging unearthed the name Felicia Day. Now, she was unknown to me at the time, but I was definitely in the minority on that one. By the time Dr. Horrible hit the interwebs, Day was already a well-known name thanks to her web series about gaming called The Guild, which Mike likes.
I like it, too. I loved it, yeah.
I'm not really familiar with Felicia Day, but keep going.
Yeah, Brian recommended The Guild once.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. So Day recently released a memoir of sorts called You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. In it, she chronicles her childhood as a lonely homeschool student who takes up online gaming to make some friends. And her book goes into quite a bit of detail about the genesis of the Guild, before reading, I hadn't really watched more than one or two episodes, but luckily the library has the whole series on DVD. Yay! And they're really short, so you like the whole DVD is the whole season, so you can just check them out and binge watch.
Yeah, at least the first season, I think every episode was like 5 minutes long or something.
They're like seven, yeah. Something ridiculously awesome. So after reading and watching, it was fun to see how much Day wove her personal experiences into the life of her characters. I also enjoyed getting kind of the behind-the-scenes stories about production. Then you watch the episode, and you're like, oh, that's that episode where that happened, and then they had to do this, and then the cops came, and, so that was interesting. But the best story that I have about this book actually happened in the grocery store. So I was listening to the book on my iPhone, and sometimes when I get a text or a phone call, the book kind of just starts playing. So one Saturday morning, I was at Kroger, and I needed to call my husband to ask him a question about something. And as soon as I hung up the phone, the book started. And so I'm, sitting there trying to turn it off. And before I could get to it, the words that came out of the phone were, "What the f-?" screamed by the author. So now, luckily, no one was in the same freezer aisle as me. But it's doubly funny because this isn't really a vulgar book. And there's maybe one or two cuss words in the whole thing. And it was nice enough I could broadcast one across the Nipper's Corner Kroger. Thank you, Apple.
Curse word in aisle three.
I'm just curious, like, what app were you listening to the book on?
Overdrive.
Okay, because Hoopla used to do that, and I've had, like, music that's, like, just mostly just cuss words. Start by itself.
Yeah, like, yeah, just randomly.
Yeah,
just,
like, yeah. At my desk, and then, like, the most vulgar, like, raps just start at my desk.
Like...
Yeah.
So if you haven't already seen The Guild, you need to check it out today. Also, you can read Day's book. We have the print version and the ebook version. But I highly recommend you listen to it because you'll feel like she's your best friend, even though you haven't officially met in person, unless you've been at 14 Comic-Cons. Brian.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
What do you have, Brian?
So I wanted to talk about a website, and you guys have talked about some really great things at our library. So I wanted to talk about an internet library.
Ooh.
And that is the Open Library. So if you haven't heard of the Open Library, it's a website that's actually dedicated to creating a free crowdsourced database of every book that's ever been published, like Wikipedia, except for books.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a database. It's not the actual book.
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay, sorry. I'll get to that.
They're doing pretty good. They have over 20 million books right now. So, and if you go there, they'll try to have information about every edition of the book that's ever been published that they know of, that people have added or they've scraped from public book data sources. Like in the past, we've talked about the Hathi Trust on here and things like that. So they scrape info from those big public repositories of information